Friendship and Adventure, a Tintin fanfiction written by Field of Yellow Dandelions, read by Alice. "Well, that seems to be the last of it," Tintin said, taking a glance around the nearly empty second-floor apartment at 26 Labrador Road. A pile of boxes and suitcases, 3 feet high, were stacked neatly next to the front door, waiting to be carried downstairs to the moving truck. "So, I suppose we'd better give the place a once-over and make sure we didn't leave anything behind. Hey, Snowy?" Snowy, curled up under the now-empty desk, gave a whine. "Now there, Snowy," Tintin said, kneeling down and giving the dog a pet. "None of that. You'll like living at Marlin Spike Hall just fine." Snowy just hid his head under a paw in what could only be described as a sulk. Sighing, Tintin stood back up and headed to the kitchen. He couldn't blame Snowy for being upset. This was the only home he had ever known. It was in this very apartment building that Tintin had brought Snowy, then a tiny, dirty ball of fluff he had found abandoned in a city alleyway. Tintin knew he'd miss the apartment too. However, it was for the best. Unfortunately, sometime during his latest adventure in Kemed, his home address has accidentally been released to the public. Ever since he had returned home, he had been inundated with uninvited guests and had not had a single moment of peace since. To be honest, it all came as quite a shock. He knew his articles were well received and, yes, he did get a fair share of mail written to him care of his editor, but the sheer number of strangers who just showed up day and night asking for photographs and autographs were truly astounding. It wasn't in his nature to turn anyone away, and that was half the problem. He would invite them in for coffee and chat. Overall, they were nice people. Except, of course, that odd couple who had attempted to kidnap him to investigate reporting into black market ship. And he very much enjoyed talking with them, sharing his adventures and listening to theirs. However, he did have to work. He was a reporter, which meant he did need to occasionally sit down as his typewriter and actually write a story to file to his editor. The constant distraction were making it extremely difficult to get any work done. It had been Captain Haddock who had suggested a solution. "Why don't you move here?" the captain had offered 3 weeks ago, sipping a Loch Lomond and smoking a cigar. "And let Nestor handle it. There's more than enough room for that mangy mutt of yours to run around, and it's quiet enough. The professor only seems to blow himself up every other day or so." "No doubt, Mrs. Finch would be pleased to see us go," Tintin thought to himself, looking through the kitchen cupboard for any stray dishes. "No matter what she says about how much she'll miss us." Between the kidnapping attempts and the Thompson accidentally shooting holes in the wall with their pistols, her poor nerves had been frayed far beyond what was healthy. "Blistering barnacles!" Haddock exclaimed as he clumped back into the apartment and made straight for the kitchen. "Lugging boxes is thirsty work. Good thing I stashed a nip in your icebox." "I'm pleased and all you'll be moving to Marlin Spike Hall," Haddock said, after taking a swing of his whiskey straight from the bottle. "But you do have a lot of stuff."
"A person does tend to collect when they live in one place long enough," Tintin replied, closing the last cupboard door. "Thank you again for helping. I could have hired movers."
"Nonsense! What are friends for? Besides, it gets the blood moving."
The captain took another gulp.
"It'll be nice having you out at Marlin Spike. You bloody well almost live there now as it is. It'll be quiet enough there, but no doubt you'll miss all the ladies going round."
"I'll miss everyone. It's been wonderful meeting so many different people."
"Yes, but the ladies, they're especially distracting, if you know what I mean."
"They're nice enough, I guess."
"Nice? Nice, he says,"
Haddock chortled.
"Is that all you've got to say?"
Tintin could only give a non-committal shrug. What was he supposed to say? There was a timid knock on the apartment door, and Tintin took the opportunity to extract himself from the conversation. It was probably Mrs. Finch, come to see when she could collect the key from him. However, when he opened the door, it was not Mrs. Finch on the other side but a slim young man, who couldn't yet be 20, with tawny hair and spectacles, clutching what appeared to be a scrapbook. "Mr. Tintin?" the young man asked.
"Yes,"
Tintin replied, already having an inkling at what the young man wanted.
"Can I help you?"
The young man thrust the scrapbook at Tintin, gasping out,
"Could you sign my book?"
"Thundering typhons!" the captain bellowed, storming out of the kitchen. "Can't you see the man is busy? Can't you see you're driving him out of his home, you villainous vulture?"
"No, it's okay," Tintin said to Haddock. "Really, it's all right. I don't mind at all. Could you look into the bedroom and make sure everything is out for me?"
Haddock scowled, but did as he was asked, and Tintin turned back to the obviously startled young man.
"Sorry about that. He can be overprotective sometimes. I'd love to sign your book for you. What's your name?"
"Frederick, sir."
"Frederick," Tintin said, opening the first page of the book, revealing a collection of his newspapers, articles, and pictures. "Is it okay if I sign on the inside cover?" When the young man nodded eagerly, Tintin took out the ballpoint pen that he had taken to carrying around with him at all times, signed the cover, and handed it back.
"Oh, thank you so much,"
Frederick gushed, clutching the book to his chest.
"I really am your greatest fan. I've read every single article you ever wrote. Your Inca adventure was so thrilling. You're so brave and smart and amazing. And you smell so good."
"Well, thank you very much. I wish I could invite you to chat, but everything's packed and I have an IRHC captain in my bedroom." Tintin held out his hand to shake. "It was a pleasure to meet you." Beaming bright red, Frederick took the hand and gave a shake.
"It was a pleasure to meet you too."
"He seemed a nice chap," Tintin said, closing the door and turning back into the room to face the captain, who was standing in the hallway.
"See, men are just as distracting as women."
"But don't you find the girl more distracting?"
"Sometimes they wear perfumes that makes my eyes water, and they can sometimes be awfully touchy. But on the whole, no, not really."
The captain frowned, and after a pause, leaned forward and whispered, rather conspiratorily,
"Are you a Molly?"
"Am I what?"
"A fleet, a fruit, a swish, a Nelly, a queer, a fairy, a knob jockey, a backdoor bandit, a three-letter man, a friend of Dorothy. By God, man! Are you homosexual?"
Tintin took a step back and sat on one of the boxes sitting by the door.
"Well, that's a blunt question."
"There's no shame in it. This thing happens. Sometimes a man gets lonely on a boat, and sometimes you don't need to be on a boat."
"I appreciate that, but I'm not a homosexual."
"Are you sure?"
"Pretty sure."
"Well, if you aren't fond of the ladies, and you aren't fond of the man, who are you fond of?"
"I'm not really fond of anybody."
"By heavens, not!"
"Why not indeed?" That was a question he had asked himself more than once, and though he had an answer, he'd never actually shared it with anyone before. "It's always been this way, all my life. I've always been more interested in having adventures and meeting new people. I have no desire for a girlfriend or a boyfriend. I have Snowy, and I have you, and the professor, and the Thompsons, and that's enough for me." The captain, after a long moment of appearing to be in deep thought, as he contemplated his next words carefully,
"Well," he finally said, "at least you'll never get the club."
Tintin gave a laugh.
"There's that. Now, how about we get the rest of these boxes down to the truck? I still need to patch up the bullet hole in the hallway before I hand the keys back to Mrs. Finch."